Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Huvane Wealth Management Conversation today. My name is Tom Huvane, and I'm a Managing Director and Wealth Advisor here at UBS, and I will be your host for the next 20 or so minutes. We're talking taxes today, and our topic is the impact of the new tax laws under the Biden administration. And I'm very excited to be joined today by Chris Hennessy from Putnam Investments. Chris is a member of Putnam's Business Advisory Group and also serves as a professor emeritus of law at Babson College and faculty director of Babson Global. He speaks extensively on estate planning and asset protection strategies. Chris is a member of the American Bar Association and American Institute of Certified Public Accountants. So Chris is both a lawyer and a CPA, which means his mom is very proud of him. So welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Tom, very much for that very kind introduction. Happy to be with you today.
Great. Well, thanks for being here. So, Chris, let's jump right in to what's most on our clients' minds. We've had trillions of dollars of new stimulus because of the pandemic. We have a new Congress and a brand new White House. Are my taxes going up? And if so, when?
Yeah, a new sheriff in town, and the answer is, in my opinion, yes, your taxes are going up, and they're probably going to go up. It depends a little bit on your situation, but they're probably going to go up, not for this year. It won't be retroactive. Any tax increases will be effective in 2022, and probably going to go up if your income's over $400,000, Tom. And that would be an increase from 37% to 39.6% top marginal rates. And your capital gains rate could go up also if your income's over $1 million. So although it's going to go up, Biden has said continually, hey, if your income's under $400,000, you're okay. And you're not going to be hit with a capital gains tax increase unless you're over $1 million of income. So I think they're going up, Tom. I definitely think they're going up.
Yes, it seems like that's quite the direction, and certainly something that has been really on everybody's mind on whether it's going to be this year or next year. So another important topic for our clients, and especially our higher net worth clients, are the estate and the gift taxes. The current exclusion for a married couple is around $11.7 million. Do you see big changes happening here?
Yes, I do. And you know, I want to go back. I'll answer this, but maybe we could talk a little bit more about. I'm interested in what you've seen with capital gains increases with over history, because you've done a lot of work in that area. But yes, I do see the estate and gift tax increasing. And Biden has a number of proposals. So he said, look, we got $11.7 million exemption now, as you just said, and that could come down to $3.5 million a person. Or $5 million a person indexed for inflation. So there's two possibilities that have been mentioned. The estate tax rate is now 40%, but Biden wants to take that up to 45% or even higher, depending on what the size of the estate actually is. And it could well be we have the $3.5 million for the estate tax, but a separate number for gifting during your lifetime. See, right now that number of 11.7 includes gifts. Anything left over is available with death, but you could split it out. So I do see changes in the estate and gift here. I think the easiest thing to do first, though, is just raise the rate from 40 to 45%, Tom.
Mm-hmm. That's the rate on the estate over that amount.
Exactly right. So the estate tax rate, if you're over that 11.7 million bucks, is a 40% rate. I think you go to 45. I mean, it's interesting because the estate and gift tax doesn't raise a lot of revenue, but it's a big political issue, and I think it is going to be a source of revenue. Hey, they got to pay for it. You just mentioned in the intro all these trillions of dollars that have been spent, and now another, whatever it's going to be, $2 to $3 trillion, maybe even $4 trillion on so-called infrastructure, Tom.
Right. And then it feels like if something is going to happen, it'll likely be it'll start in the new year next year. So it really feels like there's a sense of urgency, especially for clients who might have a household wealth of over $3 million or $5 million,
right,
to really be thinking about doing something and not really waiting too much longer here. Is that sound right?
Yeah, absolutely right. And you know, it's interesting. You mentioned the end of the year, so. hey, people might be saying, hey, if my capital gains rate's going to go up, then boy, why don't I sell appreciated assets now? I'm not so sure, Tom, I wanted to ask you about this, but that's the experience your firm has had over time, that if the income tax rate goes up for capital gains, that it's going to have that much of an impact on the stock market. I'm just curious about what your thinking is there.
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's something that we've talked to clients about is, you know, what is the impact to their portfolios on a lot of these tax increases? And, you know, David Lefkowitz, who's head of our equities here at UBS, has done a lot of work on this. And, you know, President Biden has, as you just said, proposed increasing the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. And if successful, we estimate this would be about an 8% drag on S&P earnings. But in our base case, we assume that the Congress will approve a tax hike that is really only about half as large, so maybe a 4% drag on profits. And this number is already embedded in our expectations for S&P earnings in the coming year. However, if the corporate tax rate remains unchanged, it doesn't sound like, from what you're saying, that it will. But if it does, earnings could grow closer to 17%. Wow. So the bottom line here is that the higher corporate taxes could be a modest drag on equity markets, but U.S. companies should still produce pretty healthy profit growth. And in addition to the income tax increase, now we have the capital gains increase, and President Biden has proposed an increase in the capital gains tax rate. But historically, when we go back, we found that changes in the capital gains tax rate have had almost no impact on overall market returns. And in fact, the last time the capital gains tax rate increased was in 2013 under the Obama administration. And that year, funny enough, the S&P rose about 30%.
I remember that.
Gains have had very little relationship with valuations of the stock market. So
yeah,
we're not as overly concerned about that as far as capital gains taxes go.
Well, that's good to hear. I think that's great to hear.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, we've talked a little bit about what the tax situation could be, Chris. And so now let's talk a little bit about a few of the wealth strategies.
Sure.
That maybe clients can deploy in order to hedge against this potential threat of rising taxes. What are your thoughts there?
Well, first thing that always comes up is the Roth IRA. And
yes,
more specifically, Tom, hey, if I've got a lot of money in a taxable or tax-deferred IRA account, or I'm going to pull money out of a retirement account into an IRA account, then should I convert some of it or all of it into a Roth IRA? Now, why? Why would you do that? Why would you pay the taxes today? Well, because you're going to pay them someday anyway, and the bet you're making is that when you do pay them down the road, you pull money out of that IRA account, you're going to be in a higher tax rate than today. So very simply, hey, if I got an IRA account worth $200,000, and I think over time it's going to go to $500,000, and I paid the tax today on the $200,000 on the conversion, then the $300,000 is off the table, right? If I don't do that, then that $300,000 gets taxed presumably at a higher tax rate. So I think people should consider the Roth. You don't have to do it all at once, and the marginal rates today are pretty good. I mean, you can stay at 24% or less. Married couple under around $330,000 of income. So that's the first strategy. I really think the Roth is worth consideration. And I know you guys can run numbers on this too for the clients. I mean, you can look at this and they can determine based on their marginal tax rate. And that's a good time is the end of the year to make the decision, because then you know what your taxes are going to be
right
for 2021. So that's the first one. The second one that always comes up is charity and charitable trusts. So let me see if I can give you a couple examples in that area. So for example, if I had a large capital gain in some asset, it could be a stock that I'm in, and I sell it and the capital gains rate is even higher, I could consider a couple of different types of trusts. I could consider a charitable lead trust, because the lead trust itself, the income stream goes to the charity right away and then eventually comes back to my family or to my spouse or to my kids. So I get a big tax reduction with the lead trust. I could also go a different route And I could consider what's called a charitable remainder trust, because I donate the asset to the trust. I don't get quite as big a charitable contribution deduction, but I get an income stream. And either way, if I've got appreciated assets, I take the capital gain off the table, because the trust is going to sell that asset. The trust is a charitable trust, so it's not paying taxes on the capital gain. So I like that thinking, and it's something people should consider. And then kind of the third area that comes up a lot, and I think it's going to come back a lot, is life insurance. So, again, let me give you a couple examples, Tom. Let's go back to the Roth conversion. So maybe what we do is we say, you know what? We can get life insurance right now, and we'll just leave the IRA account the way it is. We won't do any conversion. Let it grow. And when the second spouse dies, the second to die life insurance policy comes in the insurance trust. The kids inherit the big IRA, and then they convert it to the Roth, and they use the life insurance to pay the income tax on the conversion.
Right.
And that's a strategy. Another strategy would be, hey, if the estate tax exemption's coming down from 11.7 million to maybe 3.5, well, a married couple can only shelter 7. A lot of people are over 7. They got a home, they got a second home, they've got other assets such as a brokerage account and retirement accounts. Well, what about life insurance to pay the death tax at the second death? And again, that's a strategy that's been employed for a long, long time. Kind of gotten away from it because the 11.7 million is so high for most people, but we may get back to life insurance for that purpose, Tom.
You know, those are three great ideas, and all ideas that we've been able to execute pretty well over the last several years. And on the Roth side, you know, UBS has a number of different tools and calculations we can help clients make in order to understand what their tax liability might be from making a Roth conversion, as well as, right, you know, where would you get the money to pay for the taxes on that. On the charitable side, we do a tremendous amount of work with the National Philanthropic Trust through either charitable remainder trusts or through gifting of appreciated assets, like you mentioned. And even these days, we're actually able to make gifts for clients in many of these trusts and things that are not just run-of-the-mill liquid assets like stocks, but, you know, things that are private equity and hedge fund investments as well. And certainly on the life insurance side, UBS is not a life insurance company, but we have many analysts who can come in, and we work with very closely with our clients' attorneys to help them understand, even if they do most of the estate planning that they can do, they may still have a tax liability, and how do we protect that tax liability by using life insurance, and what's the proper amount and what's the proper type of life insurance to use.
Exactly.
So those are three really great examples, but also three things that, you know, we've been able to execute on pretty well over the last couple of years. So,
and you know,
those are great ideas.
One I didn't mention, but within the charity areas, I know you have donor advisor fund too.
Yes.
You could do that for a client.
Right. And very simple, very easy, no fuss, no mess, no lawyers, just a few forms and a few clicks of a button, and contributions can be made very easily there. And also the money can be invested.
Yes,
so it doesn't have to just sit there doing nothing. So this has really been great. So Chris, you know, I this has really been very informative for us, and I always like to end these conversations on a little bit of a lighter note.
Okay.
I know, like many of us, I know you were you recently received the COVID vaccine.
Right.
And I heard you had an interesting experience there. Can you fill us in on that?
So my wife and I were able to get our first shot. We got outside of Boston. We're about 30 minutes west of Boston. So we got our first shot back in February, actually February 23rd, Moderna, at CVS. And we kind of got the leftovers for the day, and they had some extra, so we got the shot. Now we're headed to go down to Florida on March 1st. We spend a month down there. This year we spent a month down in Florida in Naples. So we get down there, and we're thinking, oh, my gosh, how are we going to get this second shot? Because, you know, CVS sets up the second appointment for you automatically, which was March 23rd. Well, I had a flight ready to go. We're going to have to fly back. And it cost me a lot of money to fly back and then turn around and go back to Naples. Fortunately, Publix, that big chain of supermarkets in Florida, we were able to get the second shot at Publix in Florida, even though we got the first shot in Massachusetts. And I'll tell you, Tom, it was quite an experience. We were so excited. My wife got the shot at one Publix. An hour and a half later, I got the shot of second Publix, and it was more exciting than passing the bar exam to get the second shot. So
and that was almost as difficult.
Yeah, it was. And that was a couple of weeks ago, we are now all set with the shots. So thanks for asking about that.
Great. Well, we're really happy about the vaccines, and many of our clients have either gotten both vaccines or are in the process of getting them. And, you know, we're all very excited about seeing where this is going to bring us over the next couple of months. And, you know, we're all looking forward to a good summer.
And
hopefully you'll enjoy yours as well.
Thanks.
So I want to thank you, Chris, for sharing your tremendous expertise today and helping educate us on the upcoming tax debate. I feel our clients and investors will have a better understanding and insights as we enter this really important debate on future tax policy. And for those of you with any questions, or if you would like to continue this conversation, you can reach our team at ubs.com/team/Huvane. So thank you all for your time today, and we look forward to the next conversation.